Great to look out and see everybody this morning. Appreciate the good song, especially that we just sang. And it's our desire and hope that we're all striving for that higher ground, to be lifted up to a place where we can be in fellowship with our God, be the kind of people He wants us to be and please Him. We're thankful for this opportunity this morning to worship God and for Your presence here among us. I saw a sign in a locker room at a gym a while ago. It said, please be considerate and shower before entering the pool. Well, I've never used the public pool, but I guess I can understand why it would be considerate to shower before you got into it. I imagine if you've been working and sweating and in the grease and the grime all day, and then you just decide, or maybe working out and lifting weights or whatever, and then you decide to just go run and jump in the pool, whatever is on you is going to float off into the water and get on to somebody else. And that just doesn't sound too pleasant to me. So I think it would be very, very considerate to shower before entering the pool. We don't think much about being considerate in our society today, though. A lot of things are done without very much consideration for how it might affect others. Consideration of others can involve so many basic and simple things. Things like picking up after yourself. That's just such a simple thing. Here you've thrown some clothes, you've used some clothes, and you throw them down instead of picking up and taking care of them. Somebody's got to pick it up. Somebody's got to take care of that. Or maybe, what about waiting for somebody to pull out of a parking place 5 minutes while, you're sitting there waiting while somebody comes out of Walmart, gets in their car, fiddles with their keys, fixes their makeup, and then backs up, and finally you get that spot. In the meantime, 10 people are waiting behind you who you blocked from getting anywhere or doing anything while you're waiting for this one part. You ever considered how that action might affect somebody else? Or what about driving driving slow in the fast lane? You ever considered how that might affect somebody else? How about texting while you're driving? You say, well, who does that harm? How is that inconsiderate? Well, it might be inconsiderate of somebody who's trying to cross the road in front of you, or somebody who has to brake quickly in front of you, or something like that. That might be inconsiderate of them. Or what about just not having your deposit ready when you get up to the teller at the bank, and so you've got to fill all of that out and fiddle with your money and your check or whatever like that. Meanwhile, you've got 10 people waiting behind you there. Or my very, very favorite is when you get to the grocery store or the Walmart checkout line and you've got two things in your hand and there's somebody with 700 things that's gotten in the express checkout line right in front of you. And they've got all that stuff just piled there. Are we being considerate when we behave like that? Christ wants us to be considerate. One of the most basic of all fundamental principles for those who would follow Christ, who would be His disciples, is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And you know it. We call it the golden rule. And Jesus says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I want to impress on you as we begin our lesson this morning, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. You have to consider two people. You have to consider yourself and the other guy in order to fulfill that commandment. You cannot fulfill that commandment without being considerate, without considering what the other person might need, or what would be most helpful to them, or how your actions are going to affect them. And so this commandment, this instruction that we have from Jesus right here, is really an instruction to be considerate. A number of years ago, Ann Landers had in her column, her advice column, something she called the golden rules for living. And they went like this. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break it, fix it. If you can't fix it, report it to the boss. If you borrow it, return it. If you use it, don't abuse it. If you make a mess, clean it up. If you move it, put it back. If you don't know how to operate it, leave it alone. If it belongs to somebody else, ask permission to use it. If it doesn't concern you, don't mess with it. Now, you say, well, that's just something some lady wrote in an advice column. What does that have to do? Well, I think about every one of those things that are mentioned there have to do with doing unto someone else what you would want done to you. It's part of fulfilling this, what we call this golden rule. It's part of doing what Jesus wants us to do at a most basic level to be His disciples. You see, what happens to us, folks, is that we read things like Matthew 7 and verse 12, and we teach our children the golden rule, and then we fail to recognize that this applies to every aspect of our lives, to virtually every action that we do all through the day. Because what we do is going to have an effect on somebody else at some point. Virtually everything you say or do needs to be done with consideration of others in mind. And so what we're talking about this morning when we talk about being considerate is a very fundamental, basic principle that's easy to understand, but that we need to think about so that we might apply it more consistently in our lives. We need to realize that being considerate is an action of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, in verses 4 and 5, Jesus says that love suffers long and is kind. Love is kind. That has to do with how you treat somebody else. How your actions relate to somebody else and how they take them. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked and it thinks no evil. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the apostle says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." So here, kindness, affection, tied up with the idea of brotherly love. And then he says, in honor, giving preference to one another. So here's concern and consideration and honor that's given to the other person out of love and affection. The concepts of love and affection are not just some sort of nebulous, cloudy, uncertain concepts that we can't put into practice. They are things that need to be applied in our lives, specific things that need to be done and applied in our lives. Being considerate then involves thinking about what would be good for another person. For example, you might think that you're being considerate if you're a husband and you decide to stop by a store someplace and pick up a bunch of flowers for your wife on your way home. Is that really what your wife wants? No, it may be. But it may be that if you'd really consider what she would like, that she might prefer that you would help with the housework a little bit. She might much rather have it if you picked up after yourself, as we talked about a little bit earlier. The thing about being considerate is, what does this other person really want or need? How might I show my love to them in the most significant way to them? And not just what I want to do or what's easiest to me. You see, consideration is active. It anticipates and creates support for a person without even being asked. Consideration for a loved one is based on a real understanding of that individual as a person. An ability to listen when they speak to you, to understand what they're saying and sometimes what they don't say. And it's allowing all of that to work around in your mind and your thought processes and then come up in your actions with things that meet those needs. Now, I've talked so far about things that have to do with our physical lives mainly, with family and social relationships and our place in society. in order to get you to see the principle of consideration. But really, I want to take the principle of consideration and being considerate into the spiritual realm this morning and into the family of God as it applies to us here at Eastside as God's children. In Romans chapter 15 and verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Now, in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to think about my neighbor who's a brother in Christ. How might I build him up? What might I do to help him be a better Christian? Again, let me read the verse. Let each of us please his neighbor. Well, how can I know what's going to please my neighbor if I don't consider him? And what is it supposed to lead to? His edification. Who's my example in this? Jesus Christ. Next verse. For even Christ did not please himself. Christ was the most, in fact, considerate person of all time, wasn't he? He considered us. And did whatever was necessary for our welfare, for our benefit. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So let's think about becoming more considerate, putting ourselves in others' shoes. What would I want someone to do to me if I were about to make a bad decision? If someone were being considerate of me, what would they do if I were about to make a bad decision? Now, of course, what that gets at is, what am I going to do when I see somebody else about to make a bad decision? And it could be, young people, you're out with your friends, and somebody's about to do something really foolish, break a law, take something that's illegal, do something that's going to hurt somebody in some way, say something that's going to harm somebody's reputation. But that applies to a lot of us who are older in all of those ways, maybe in a lot of other ways as well. Somebody's about to make a bad decision. They're about to decide something that's going to affect their family, perhaps. They're about to decide something concerning a job they might take or something they're going to do with at work that's going to affect them spiritually and perhaps their family spiritually as well. All sorts of things come into play here. What are you going to do when you see somebody, your brother or sister in Christ, that's about to make a mistake or that doesn't know which way to turn? In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the wise man said that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. If I'm about to make a bad decision, you know what I need? I need some good counsel. I need some good advice. If you're being considerate of me, that's what you would do for me if you see me about to make a bad decision in my life. That's what you would do for somebody else if you see them about to make a bad decision. Proverbs 19 and verse 20 says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand." So let's listen to God. Let's recognize what He wants us to do in our lives. A true friend will tell me what I need to hear, even if it hurts, will dissuade me from doing the wrong thing, even though maybe it's something I had my heart set on. But a true friend and somebody that's really considerate of me will keep me from doing the wrong thing. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. So here's what I would do if you're about to make a bad decision, or what I should do, obviously, is what I would want done for me. I should go to you. I should say, "Hey, wait a minute, let's think about this. Let's see what God's Word has to say about that. Consider what it is you're doing. Look at the ramifications of it and the consequences of what you're doing. If I see you about to make a bad decision, that's what I should do, because that's what I would want done for me." What about if I believed error or false teaching? Do you like to be wrong? I don't. I hate it when I'm wrong. It happens far too often. You have to hate being wrong more than you hate being shown that you're wrong. You have to decide that you want to be right more than you're concerned about being embarrassed for being shown that you're not right. If I believed error or false teaching, I wouldn't want to keep on believing it. You would be my friend if you corrected me. That's what a servant of the Lord should do. Listen to Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. A servant of the Lord, he says, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. A servant of the Lord. No, you see somebody in error, you don't want to start a fight. You don't want to get in there and quarrel with them. You don't want to have a knockdown, drag out sort of verbal exchange with somebody who's in error. You want to go to them in meekness and quietness and gentleness and try to correct them. That's what a servant of the Lord wants to do. That's what I would want done for me. If I were wrong about some point of doctrine or belief, we must not mistake this person who comes to us and tries to correct us for somebody who's an enemy. As we've already said, enemies can be very smooth in their speech and complimentary in things that they have to say. A friend will tell it to you straight. A friend will correct you when you're doing that which is wrong or believing that which is in error. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul had been telling the Galatians some kind of difficult things, but things that they needed to hear because they were believing things that were wrong. They were believing things like you had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses to be a good Christian. It was plainly wrong. They were believing things like, well, we need to go back to the law of Moses for a lot of other things. Paul was trying to correct them in those things. And he gets to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, and he asks the question, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, this is what the Galatians needed. This is what Paul would have wanted if he were in their shoes. That's what he's giving them. He's not trying to be their enemy. He cares about them. And so it is among us here at Eastside. If somebody's believing error, if it's me, if it's you, if we consider one another, let's go to one another in love, out of concern, express that, take people to the Word of God, show them their error. This is what consideration does in the spiritual realm. And related to that, what if I'm just committing sin or causing sin? Christians commit sin. And Christians sometimes by their actions, whether they're sinful or not, can cause others to sin out of a lack of consideration. Maybe we don't realize how our words affect others and create in their minds problems. We don't realize how our actions might cause stumbling blocks for others and cause them to sin. So whether a Christian is committing a sin or perhaps causing someone to sin, I saw just this last week over at Athens Bible School, in the hallway, a young lady was dressed in a way that wasn't really, you know, you wouldn't say immodest, but it was kind of a borderline thing. And I witnessed a teacher just point that out to her, just in passing. And the young lady made quick correction. She may not even have been aware of what the problem was. That's the kind of thing I want done for me. If I'm doing something wrong, or I'm doing something that might lead others to do something that's wrong, if you're considerate, you'll point that out. We see in Scripture in Psalm 141 and verse 5, let the righteous strike me, and it shall be a kindness. Listen to that. In line with what our lesson is saying, what consideration and kindness really is, let the righteous strike me. Just go ahead and hit me, if that's what I need. Just go ahead, right between the eyes. Just go ahead and give me what I need, and it will be a kindness. That's how we need to see it. Let him rebuke me, and it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. See, I want to do right. I'm praying against the deeds of the wicked. And if I'm doing wrong, Please show me that. It'll be wonderful. It'll be a great thing for me if my attitude is right. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." In James chapter 5 and verse 19, James writes, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." You know what sin leads to? Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. If somebody were headed in a direction doing something that was going to kill them, would you stop them? If they were about to drive their car off a cliff, would you do something to stop them? And yet, we sit around and watch each other doing things that are contrary to the law of God, that are going to condemn us eternally to a lake of fire. And we don't say anything. We need to be considerate. James says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." What about if I'm not doing the works that I'm capable of doing? I remember seeing a Peanuts cartoon several years ago. Linus said, "Life is like a 10-speed bicycle. Most of us have gears we don't use." I don't know if you've ever ridden a 10-speed bicycle. I used to have one when I was a teenager. I used three gears. That's all I ever used. All of us have gears probably that we're not really using. We have things that we could accomplish that we're not even really trying to accomplish. And when it comes to the Lord's work and what might be done in His vineyard, we need to be encouraged to use all of our gears, to use all that we've got in service of our Lord. Not to bury our talents, not to hide our abilities, but to develop them and use them to their fullest potential. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer is getting to in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 when he says exactly this: "Let us consider one another to provoke or stir up love and good works." Think about what you can do to get somebody else to use all of their gears. To get somebody else to do what they're capable of doing for the Lord. We need to spend time thinking about not only what we can do, but what can I do to get whoever. How can I encourage them? How can I stir them up to do what they're capable of doing? Because what happens is we get complacent. We have two or three talents that we've used for the Lord when we have 10 that we could potentially use. We sit around on the seat of do nothing and whittle on the stick of do less. And don't develop ourselves in Christ. Well, part of the reason for that is because we're not considering one another to encourage one another to do that. A lot of us have been interested in the football season that's winding down now. One thing I notice about those football teams, they all have coaches. What are those coaches there for? Well, they organize things and they put the major plan into it. But you know, those coaches, during a ball game, they sometimes the camera will show the coach on the sideline. And about half the time, it doesn't matter who the coach is, he'll be screaming and carrying on. You ever notice that? What's he trying to do? He's trying to stir up his team, to provoke His players to do what they're capable of doing. And then the players, they get on one another. Somebody drops a pass or misses a block, and they'll start getting on one another to do what they're capable of doing. I know you can do it. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." We need to consider what we're doing and be careful not only to maintain our good works, but encourage others to do so. Lastly, this morning, what would I want you to do for me if I were lost? And again, this touches on the point of what if I were sinning? What if I'm just lost? Look at the book of Jude, starting in verse 20. "You beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Again, there's a reciprocity here. There's a back and forth. We're building up together. We're building ourselves up. "In the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." If you're in that lake of fire, if I'm in that lake of fire or falling into it, snatch me out of it. Don't worry about, that might hurt your neck a little bit if I snatch you. Don't worry about that. Snatch me. Keep me from falling into that fire. Yank me out. That's what I'd want you to do for me. That's what you need to want others to do for you. This morning, as we close our lesson, let me ask the question. Are you falling in the fire? If I would and I could this morning, I'd just like to grab you, bring you back to where you need to be in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, let's determine to be considerate of one another. Ultimately, it is this one principle of doing unto others as we would have them do to us. This one principle applied in the church, in the spiritual realm, ultimately it is this one principle that will be responsible for whether or not most of us go to heaven or not. Because we're not going alone. It's only with God's help and the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ that we'll make it. This morning, are you outside of Christ? Are you falling in the fire? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?